dark in here.
I can't see anything.
Is there anybody out there who wants to talk to me?
Wait, I think I see the moon.
3, 2, 1.
This is Radio Moon.
It's showtime.
Welcome to Radio Moon, radio that's good for your mental health. Every third Thursday of the month, the Radio Moon Collective brings you an hour of radio from 2 to 3 p.m., created by people living a full life with mental health issues. And as the Canadian Mental Health Association informs us, mental illness affects people of all ages, educational and income levels, and cultures. Today is Thursday, January 19, 2023.
Radio Moon is a program that comes out of Forward House, a community-based mental health organization. We use art, comedy, poetry, interviews, discussion, news, and music to present the many faces and realities of mental health. Most importantly, we have fun and learn the art and science of radio.
We would love to hear your voice, too. Feel free to send us an email to forwardhouse.education@gmail.com. We love to hear your feedback, perspectives, and thoughts.
We want to wish everyone tuning in to our show a happy new year. The Moon Crew is excited to be back in the studio and ready to start the new year off. It's our first show back, and this month's theme is all about equality. We're going to be discussing everything from how we're doing our part to drive equality forward, important activists, poetry, and more. Our first song is Freedom 90 by George Michael. The 90 added to the end of the title is to prevent confusion with a hit by Michael's former band Wham, also entitled Freedom. Let's take a listen to our first song of 2023.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Radio Moon on CKUT 90.3 FM. We're all back from a well-rested winter break and itching to get back to our roundtable discussions. I'm your host, Bianca, and I'm here with Peter, Noel, Marissa, and Jonathan. This month's roundtable is focusing on the foundational values that we all want and need in our world, equality. Let's get into it. So guys, what is your definition of equality? Starting off with a simple, but probably pretty complicated question.
When everybody is treated fairly in society, like given the same rights, like to everybody in different classes of society.
That's a great definition.
Yeah, equality to me, to piggyback that, is when everybody from any gender, age, religion, race is treated equally and fairly, and no one's less or better than.
Got some Webster dictionaries over here.
One of my favorite songs is The Power of Equality by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, well, equality is being tested every day from a black perspective. So I think that you need to know the meaning of equality to go any further.
Peter, you want to jump in on that?
Yeah. When you get down to it, we're all each other's keepers, everybody in this world. We have to work together. That's the way the human race was designed. And if you treat people as unequals, you're wasting those resources just from a practical point of view. They don't have the chance to express themselves and make their potential. So equality is can be a selfish thing too, because it helps bring everybody forward.
Yeah, it just helps propel everyone. Yeah. Those are some really beautiful explanations. There are a lot of inequalities in the world. What kind of inequalities, I guess, have you seen, or just what kind are there in the world? It's probably an endless list, but is there any that kind of speak to yours?
I think for me, like with the upper class and the middle class and the poor, like the upper class normally are known to, you know, not treat the people who have low income so well, you know? That's what I think anyways.
Utah Phillips used to say that the definition of the upper crust is it's a bunch of crumbs held together by a wad of dough.
It's actually pretty good.
So, yeah, you know, the inequalities are that, you know, when people are born rich, they have like a huge step forward, and nobody else can catch up with them. And then they form companies where people work for them, where the people don't get all of the returns from what they from what they produce. They produce it, but they don't make the whole income from it. A lot of it goes to the rich person, and they get richer still. So it's just like a vicious cycle. They get richer and richer, and
it's a trickle effect.
Effect. Exploit other more and more people, and the equality gets bigger and bigger with the wealth equality.
Do you think this affects a lot of people? Is it?
It's everywhere. 'Cause you know, there's nothing special about rich people. I mean, we're finding that out quite graphically with the whole Elon Musk thing. You know, like, everybody's been touting him as a genius, and it turns out he's just a jerk. He's been a lucky jerk so far, but now the chickens have come home to roost, and people see him for who he really is. And it's the same for anybody who's rich. That, you know, it's just playing out in the public sphere right now with Elon Musk, but pretty much it goes to all of it applies to all of them if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that most of the problems of inequalities are driven and written in the States. So if we are about to solve some of them, or if we need to get better, we have to start at the top, which is the United States. They are the largest country, and the more richest country, and that's where most of the inequalities are coming from. So if we need a change, the change would have to start in the United States.
So Noel, are you saying that the States is kind of like the leader of all these inequalities?
They have a system that's being perpetrated throughout Canada even now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing you can do about that.
Because it kind of like leaks into everything else.
Yeah, it leaks into everything.
Do you think that there could be, as I guess Canadians, can we do anything to help make that change?
Not much.
That's fair.
What comes to mind is also, yeah, I agree with you about the United States, that they're very also divided. But what comes to mind with me is that I personally haven't been specifically discriminated against, but I am, as a person, I am a proud, happy Jewish person, and we are a minority and always seen as, as you see people like Kanye West or comments like that, when you start to have those generalizations or comments that he has, and he has such a profound millions and millions of people who follow him or listen, they're going to listen to him, and they're going to take on that hatred, and that hatred turns into discrimination instead of love and acceptance and of understanding and listening to others. So that's
it's interesting how celebrities have this almost like a pull towards the masses, especially with the whole Kanye West mm-hmm. situation. Do you find, I think they blocked him on Twitter, if I'm not mistaken. Do you think that helps kind of silencing them, or is there, do you think there might be a better way of going about it?
I think people like the two people you just mentioned, they're just
Elon and
yeah, they're just trying to attract attention. There's like minor things that people are always bringing up, and it's not really a big deal, you know. They're making such a fuss about it. Like if they do one thing, everybody's gonna, you know, make a whole big deal about it, and they're not really caring about other people. Other stories that may be more important, you know?
Like in what they're saying, you're saying?
Yeah, like they're just like overdoing it, like talking about them like every day, like Donald Trump, you know? You don't.
Do you think there's, but is there reasoning behind that? There's a lot of reasoning behind that.
My dad would tell me it's like, you know, brainwashing, like from the TV, just like, you know, sort of constantly just mentioning the same people, you know, when it's not really as important. Maybe I think, anyways.
Okay. Does anyone have a comment to that one?
I just feel like it is valid because, like, and there is so much, like, to be a Jewish person is, we are very, very hated on. So I'm very up and down because I know that, you know, in a sense, you know, he has mental health issues. So then I understand, you know, I give him empathy and say, no, no, no. But on the other way, it's like, can you still have mental health issues and also be basically a bigot and discriminate also? So that's kind of where I'm at. And then I think hopefully, you know, and like Easy and all the people with Adidas and whatever, they've been they've kind of all left him now, but I still feel like that's obviously putting a band-aid in, and that's good for that, but like, let's see how this is going to be in the long run, you know, because it's like just putting a temporary band-aid on for now.
Words are powerful. That's in the end, especially when it comes from someone's mouth that people look up to, or at least used to look up to. Like you said, Marissa, the band-aid helps, but the problem is still there. It's still persistent. Jumping off of that, have you guys ever witnessed inequality or discrimination happening in or around you or in your environment? I'm curious to know how you reacted, or maybe you would have done, like, what would you have done differently? Or if, did you react at all?
I've had to walk through several marches to get to where I was going.
Which like marches?
A lot of yelling and, you know, protesting. One was police brutality, and the other one was something to do with the Middle East women, I think.
Okay.
And they're like, I don't know, they've known to be, violent, but very loud and sort of like, you can't really, it's very hard to get to where you're going if you're stuck in the middle of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you walked by protests, basically.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Obviously.
I mean, to get to, I think the last time I was doing it was to get to an event at the Bell Center.
Okay.
So I had no choice but to go through it. And the other one...
And do you wish you were part of it,
no,
Jonathan?
No, no. The march on police brutality was actually outside my building.
Okay.
So there, you know, you don't really want to... I don't want to get involved in it, you know?
Okay.
Protesting.
That's fair. It's a... Do you think there's other ways of... I think there's other ways of protesting. Not everyone has to be part of going out into the crowd, because that can have some barriers to it. You can you can protest from home too. There's other ways of going about it besides being in the crowd, because being in a crowd isn't for everyone, I guess. Has anyone else ever witnessed inequality or discrimination around them? I'm sure we might all have a story or two.
I've been discriminated against. Where I used to work, I feel that I've been discriminated against. They put up a fight about that I was fired, but the reason for being fired doesn't seem to. I can't accept it because it is not fair to begin with. So I didn't put up any discussion or anything like that. I just let it go.
Do you think there was other motives behind that firing?
There was motives, and one of them was discrimination and not being intelligent.
Okay, intelligibility. Okay, intellectual.
Intelligibility.
Okay.
That is, it wasn't explained properly, the reason for being fired.
Would you have, thinking about that moment now, Noel, would you do anything different?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing I could do about it. It was out of my hands.
I know that several years ago, the people that were in power in Quebec, they wanted to take away religious symbols, and people were very upset, like, about that. You know, they were, I don't know what kind of protesting they did, but like, people in society were outraged that they would just abolish religious symbols, like wearing a cross or wearing a head scarf or whatever, you know.
That was the one about that you can't wear a burqa. For if you're Arab, or even if you saw, like, religion, like, if I was wearing the Star of David, which I probably would be, and I think that's absolutely, like, the most, like, stupidest and, like, craziest, that there's a bill for this. It's absolutely ridiculous. I don't know. That's my opinion, but yeah.
Guys, this was, I think we can go on for another 10 minutes with this round table. We didn't even get through all the potential questions, but I'm going to wrap us up over there for right here. I want to thank everyone for participating in our first round table discussion of 2023. You're listening to Radio Moon on CKUT 90.3 FM. Next up, let's take a listen to Peter Tosh's Equal Rights and Justice. In 1977, Peter Tosh released Equal Rights and Justice, rallying cry against what he called the shitsim. Did I say that properly? His declaration of rage against the injustices he had seen all around him. It was his finest studio album, cementing his position in one of the most outspoken artists of the 70s. Let's take a listen.
Crying out for justice. Everyone is crying out for peace, yes. None is crying out for justice. I don't want no peace. I need equal rights and justice. Followers of Jesus, everybody walks.
but none of them want to die.
Welcome back. You're listening to Radio Moon, radio that's good for your mental health. Up next, we have a piece by Alana that delves into the remarkable story and life of philanthropist, politician, and activist Nelson Mandela. Alana is away this week, so her piece will be read by Nikki.
Hello, my name's Nikki, and I would like to read to you Alana's story about Nelson Mandela's life. Here it goes. I chose Nelson Mandela because he had a lot of struggles throughout his life, and he fought for the rights of people. There was a lot of racism in South Africa due to the apartheid system. A lot of people were treated unfairly, like not being able to go to the same restaurants, the same movies, the same toilets, around the time of 1936 until 1994. Nelson Mandela was born during the First World War in 1918. He was born into a rich family, and he was part of the Thembu people. Mandela's father named him Holy Shasa, and that means pulling the branch off a tree. Nelson Mandela fought for equal rights in South Africa, but because of this, the police arrested him and took him to prison. This is where he spent the next 27 years in jail. He was going in between Robben Island, Paulsmoor Jail, and Victor Verstel Jail. Thanks to growing worldwide pressure and anxiety of racial civil war, President F.W. de Klerk let Mandela out of jail. On the 10th of May 1994, Nelson Mandela got elected president and stayed president until 1999. He helped people gain equal rights, allowing them to be a part of society, and black South Africans were then allowed in the same restaurants, bathrooms, and movie theaters as white South Africans. Here are some facts that I like about Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela had a role in Spike Lee's 1992 biography of Malcolm X. Scientists called Nelson Mandela Australopithecus Nelson Mandelae. Nelson Mandela was a night owl. He had a hideout during the day, and he would come out to work when it was nighttime. On the 5th of December 2013, at 95 years old, Nelson Mandela passed away after a very long breathing infection. Nelson Mandela had an official state funeral, which went on over a period of 10 days. He was buried at Kunu, found in the Eastern Cape, on the 15th of December 2013. During this time, South African flags at government buildings were flown at half-mast during this period. Thank you for listening to my piece.
Thank you, Nikki, for sharing Alana's piece. This next song is a motivational anthem and was recorded by John Lennon for the American historical drama film Cinema. The movie recounts the three 1965 voting rights marches that led to the signing of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Let's take a listen to Glory by John Lennon Legend.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against. Yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, the spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up. One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, glory, glory, oh, glory, glory. Now the war is not over, victory isn't won, but we'll fight on to the finish, and then when it's all done, we'll cry glory, oh, glory, oh,
Selma is now for every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. No one can win a war individually. It take the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, glory, glory, oh,
welcome back. You're listening to Radio Moon and CKUT 90.3 FM. Next up, here's Peter with his piece on Emma Goldman called Emma, Ahead of Her Time. Take it away, Peter.
Before Edgar Hoover was a director of the FBI, he wrote that Emma Goldman and Alexander Berkman are, beyond doubt, two of the most dangerous anarchists in this country. Emma Goldman was born to a Jewish family in what is now Lithuania in 1869. She resisted her father's wish for an arranged marriage. Due to her persistence, he gave in and agreed to let her emigrate to Rochester, New York. While working as a seamstress, she became aware of the injustice of the Haymarket Massacre. It happened at a rally for the eight-hour workday. A bomb was thrown at the police. In the aftermath, four people were killed and around 70 were wounded. Charges were brought against eight people, including three speakers at the rally, on very weak evidence. The three speakers were hung. Emma Goldman was so outraged, she then got involved with the local anarchists and socialist groups. She moved to New York City and started her public speaking career. She believed in free love, not in the sense of being wanton and unbridled, but rather free in what that it was unfettered by laws or custom. She was an advocate of free love, and she railed against discrimination against homosexuals. She said this, It is a tragedy, I feel, that people of a different sexual type are caught in a world which shows so little understanding for homosexuals and is so crassly indifferent to the various gradations of variations of gender and their great significance in life. She also got together with Alexander Berkman, a strike at a mine owned by Andrew Carnegie culminated in a 12-hour gun battle between 300 Pinkerton goons and the strikers. 7 goons and 9 strikers were killed. This was the Homestead Mine incident. The ensuing trial raised public sympathy for the workers. Alexander and Emma decided that it was time to make a statement by assassinating the mine's manager, Henry Clay Frick. Frick survived with 2 gunshot wounds and some stab wounds. In 1892, Berkman was sentenced to 22 years in prison. In 1893, in a fiery speech to 3,000 people in Union Square, New York, where she told the unemployed to demonstrate before the palaces of the rich, demand work, and if they do not give you work, demand bread. If they deny you both, take bread. While she was in prison, she continued organizing. A doctor there encouraged Emma to study the medical arts. After this, she earned her living working as a midwife and a practical nurse. She believed in free love and advocated using birth control. She covered such issues as prison conditions, homosexuality, militarism, freedom of speech, atheism, marriage, and capitalism. After the assassination of President William McKinley, she was investigated because the assassin admitted to attending one of her lectures. She was then arrested for teaching methods of birth control under the Comstock Act, which outlawed obscene, lewd, or lascivious articles. With the entry of the U.S. into World War I, she founded the No Conscription League. She was found guilty of conspiracy to induce persons not to register. When she was released in 1919, the government expelled her to Soviet Russia. Following the Soviets' repression of the striking sailors at the Kronstadt Naval Base, she fell out with the Russians. She moved to Europe. She was active in supporting the anti-fascist side in the Spanish War. In 1940, she died in Toronto. She was buried in Chicago near the graves of the Haymarket Martyrs. Many of the causes she fought for are still relevant today. She was a brave and resolute fighter for equality. She is an inspiration to me and was a role model for many.
Thanks, Peter, for telling us about Emma's radical life. Next up, we have a classic song by James Brown, where he addresses racism against Black Americans and the need for Black empowerment. Take it away, James.
All right.
Welcome back to Radio Moon. Next up on our show, here's Noel with a poem about equality.
Hi, my name is Noel, and I have a poem for you today. It's called Equality. Equal Rights and Justice, a song done by Peter Tosh. Whenever I think of equality, I think of feminism and the effect it has had on us. I think all things being equal, we have come a long way. We still have a long ways to go when it comes to being equal. Some of the people fighting for equality are Malcolm X, Dr. Martin Luther King, Aretha Franklin, just to name a few. Equality means a lot to me. I'm faced with it every day. On the metro, I get a feeling of not being equal. It's just the way people look at me. Equality is a feeling that a person gets when they are with someone. Someone that demands respect. Thank you.
Thanks, Noel, for that beautiful poem. What if you had a chance to leave a final message before dying? What would you say? It would have to be something that summed up everything that you stood for in life. Bob Marley essentially had that opportunity with our next song, Redemption Song, which is a protest song against discrimination. Bob Marley's music always showcased and focused on themes of social justice, human rights, peace, love, and unity. Let's take a listen to Bob Marley's Redemption Song.
Freedom as
back. You're tuned in to CKUT 90.3 FM. Well, Radio Moon will be back on Thursday, February 16th from 2 to 3 p.m. For more information on Radio Moon or Forward House, please visit www.forwardhouse.org or call us at 514-488-9119. And don't forget to listen to us online at ckut.ca.
We leave you today with Public Enemy's most famous song, Fight the Power. This song embodies their message of black pride and along the way takes shots at white icons like Elvis Presley and John Lennon. Let's take a listen.
Playback.
Cause I know you got a soul.
Hey,
listen if you're missing, y'all. Swinging while I'm singing.
Hey,
giving what you're getting. Knowing what I'm knowing. While the black man's sweating in the rhythm I'm rolling. Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Hey,
our freedom of speech is freedom of death.
We got to fight the powers that be.
Fight the power.
Fight the power.
Fight the power.
Power.
We got to fight the powers that be. As the rhythm's designed to bounce with health and mental lives, designed to fill your mind now that you realize the prize arrives.
We got to
pump the stuff to make it hot. From the heart, it's the start of work of art to revolutionize, make a change, something great.
People, people,
we are the same, no, we're not the same, cause we don't know the game. What we need is awareness, we can't get careless.
You say, what is this?
Let's get down to business. Mental self-defense or fitness.
No, no.
Let's just show.
You
to make everybody see. In order to fight the power, can't be.
Fight the power.
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 We're down.
See
straight out racist, the sucker was simple and plain.
Motherfucking in John Wayne.
Cause I'm black and I'm proud. I'm ready to hype cause I'm amped. Most of my heroes don't appear no stamp. Sample, look back, you look and find nothing but redneck for 400 years if you check.
Don't worry, be happy.
For the number one fan. Damn if I said you could find me right here.
Power,
yeah.
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 somebody's race can trigger somebody's rage. Somebody's preference can drive some total stranger to make somebody somehow feel the wrath of their anger. Why would we put it on for a show? Show where I put it to hell. Be racist, be sexist, be bigots, be sure. We won't stand for your hate. Now I see cut and dry. The simple concept is give tolerance a try.
Number one, jump out. I treat my life like a precious gift. Yeah.